But this past week, I hope you concentrated on the scripture we shared last week and week before. That was in Philippians 4, verse 4. Everybody remember what it was? It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say rejoice. "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So right there, this past week, the needs that you had and the frustrations and stuff, did you make it known to God? Or did you make it known to everybody else? We have a habit of making it known to everybody else before we make it known to God. And even though He already knows it, He's just waiting for us to bring it to Him to get involved. Amen? And again, sometimes the old person raises up and try to handle things our own way, how we used to do it. Now, I'll be back for it. He says right there, "Man, I want you to, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." In verse 7 of chapter 4 of Philippians, it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So there's something that takes place inside of you when you take your needs and requests to the Lord. No matter how bad they are, how frustrated they might be, you realize that the born-again Christian, you just gave it to God. You can't get anything higher than that. Amen? Amen. No, and you can give it to one another for prayer. Amen. But when you make it known to God, you say, "Hey, Lord," there comes a peace over you. You say, "Okay, man, I'm following the Master. I gave Him my request, my need today. I know He's going to handle things." And there comes a peace over us, guys, that the world don't have. It says He gives us a peace that doesn't comprehend by other people. Going through trials, you're still going to be at Walmart working probably, you know. You're still going to have to cut that fruit and stuff, you know. But there's a peace that comes over you. And that's what we have available to us. Then in verse 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." Now, were we able to do that this week?
Amen.
Or did we dwell on some of the ugly things? You know, I caught myself yesterday falling back on this scripture because I went out and mowed grass. And I got my lawnmower out of my shed that I got fixed earlier, about 3 weeks ago. Paid $60 for it. And I got it out to mow my backyard and it wouldn't start. And I pulled and I pulled and I pulled and I put new gas, everything, and won't start. I was getting frustrated. Man, I paid $60 to get it. I mean, I'm a tight. Well, that's a lot of money in my book. I thought, is this going to ruin my night? Is this lawnmower going to ruin my night? No, it's not. Oh, praise God, I got grass in me mowed. You know what I'm saying? And I figured it was high enough, my neighbor Chuck will stop by with a bush hog and mow it all for me, you know? But again, I'm thinking, I have a wife in the house right now, her voice is coming back, God's answering prayers. I mean, I just heard dwelling on things, they're good. That's how you put that in shape, you know what? It didn't change my lawnmower, it still isn't running. But it's not going to run me down, you know? And that's what we got to learn to do that, more and more. Not saying that bad things won't cross our path, but not to dwell on them. Do what you can for the Lord, but concentrate on the good things of that. Otherwise, wow, you'd be getting more and more depressed, and we don't need that. In this world today, depression, whew, it's out there right now trying to take every one of us down, you know. And I do believe the closer we get to the Lord, the more it raises up, because, oh, Satan, he hates, if you're born again today, he's mad that he lost you, okay? And if you're here today, you're not born again, he's mad at you because you're hearing the Word of God. So somebody's going to be mad at you. I'd rather have the Lord stand beside me, right? And again, I apologize for my voice this morning. I talk like you sing today. Now, you, on your worst day, you sing more beautiful than I ever will, Carol. You know that? Mm. And a couple other things I want to share with you today. Well, I got several things. I don't think you're getting out early. But seriously, I just want to speak to your heart for a second. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Again, I shared this recently too. He says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, in piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now that's a lot of words right there, but we're saying God's word is alive. Think about it, Joe. It is alive. The Holy, it was written through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. As a born-again Christian, that spirit that wrote this now lives inside of you, so it helps interpret it. Okay? So it's alive. So when I speak it out, it's going to do what it's intended to do. Amen? Okay? And the other one, then I'll put the two together. The other one I want to share with you is again in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Chapter 3, verse 16 of 2 Timothy. He reminds us, like I just said, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. So again, this word is given to us for we'll be able to do the good work He's called us to do. So, in saying that, you know, I got an idea once in a while who would be here on Sundays, who might not be. We all got things going on from time to time. Amen? When I bring out the Word of God, it is never, ever a personal attack on anybody. Hear me? Not for me. I would never stand in the pulpit up here and beat you up, Steve, on purpose, unless I'm joking about you. You know what I'm saying? And I just want to share that because I've had in the last couple months folks say, man, you... Yeah, I won't say they're upset, but the thing I'm picking on them during the service. So I'm like, and I'm not. I'm bringing out the Word of God, and if the Word of God is speaking to you, amen. Okay? That's what I'm supposed to do. I have no idea who's going to be here today or Friday night or whenever I do. Okay? God gives them the message to bring forth, and then it should do what it's supposed to do, is to speak to us and help us out. So I just want to, share that with you guys. You know that I didn't get around your neighbors last night. Everybody doing okay? Oh, they're doing this and this. Oh, I'll burn them tomorrow. This, you know what I'm saying? I would never, ever, and never do that. And I got a bad habit. I know that. Cindy, I'll pick on you. I'll say, well, if I use, for example, I'm not using nothing in your background. You know what I'm saying? And if I use you for example, and it hits you, I didn't do it on purpose. Okay, I just want to share that, guys. I just want to...
That's like if you're on a subject, and you're talking about a certain thing, and let's say, if it comes to me, and oh my goodness, it's a guilt feeling, man, he's talking to me, he's talking about me. It's a guilt feeling, it's a conscience.
Well, it could be the conviction of the Holy Spirit, right,
coming to you,
yeah. But if I would say, I'll pick on my wife, that way she's always mad at me anyway, but if I say, well, who knows, maybe last night you were laying drunk in the gutter somewhere, and you're in church this morning, praise God. Why do you know I was drunk in the gutter? Why did he tell the whole church? I would never, please, trust me, I would never do that intentionally on purpose. Now, if I have a message for you personally, a word for you, I'll go to you one-on-one. Amen? Same as you would come to me. But I would never stand up there and say, oh, I'll tell you what, the worst fruit you ever buy is when Jeff is working at Walmart. I'm telling you what, he keeps all the good stuff and I'm putting that. Amen. I just wanted to share that because I don't want anyone to ever think I'd ever purposely thump on you. Now, we've been sharing lately about the Word of God coming into your lives. What were you grinning at before?
Because you got an argument started over here.
What's that?
You are trying to say you don't pick on people, and now you got an argument started.
Exactly.
I was just thinking about how it was.
It worked.
When I first started coming to church, and every time you were preaching, oh, goodness, what are you talking about?
Oh, yeah.
That's the Spirit working on me saying, hey, there's a certain instance you need to take care of.
Amen.
The Spirit talking to me. Maybe.
Right, yeah. And now I'm the same way before I got saved, you know. picking on me like that. Man, I mean, I think the preacher ought to bow down. I showed up for church. That's my attitude when I went to church. You know, hey, I showed up. You have to be thankful I'm sitting in your chair. And it should be the opposite. But until you're born again, you just, ah. Amen. Yes, Cindy.
Well, it's like I said a couple of times on Friday night or whatever, how that the one reason I like you and I like coming here is because you've helped me feel accountable for how I, not necessarily you, but the Word.
Well, yeah, the Word. The Word does that. Yeah, that's what the Word's supposed to do. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. We come to be encouraged and to learn. And okay. We want it, I guess we'll say that. I want my temple to be cleansed through the Word of God. And sometimes He has to offend me to get something out of my life. You know what I'm saying? Wait. But you're right, God. I didn't know that thing was the idol of my life. I didn't know that, you know.
And that's His love.
That's His love, yes, because He only wants the best for us. Mm-hmm. In order to have the best for us, we got to have everything surrendered to Him, you know. And and sometimes it's very simple to get His best. It's just turn away from what the devil trying to do for you. You know what I'm saying? You know, my wife gave me a thing here, a new diet. She told me to get on. Thank you. It's the pasta diet. And it makes a lot of sense. Man, it's awesome. I mean, I get down with spaghetti and noodles and all that. But then it sounds good, but when you read the rest of it, you say, okay, the pasta diet. What pasta bakery? What pasta ice cream shop? What pasta table and fridge? You know, it's funny, but you know, it's the same thing in our life a lot of times. Just walk past that temptation is waiting for you. You know what I'm saying? If you know that temptation is around the corner, go around the other way. You know? Yeah. But that's what learning the Word of God is for us. But He tells us, again, recap, you have to look this one up. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and what he'll do? He'll draw near to you. Because when you start resisting God, resisting the devil, not God, then he knows you want him. Amen? And so he'll get closer to you. It's like if Daryl wants to sit closer to Opal today, okay, what he would do was start shoving these people out of the road to get closer, okay? Well, when Opal saw Daryl coming this way, man, he wants me that much. He's sitting beside me. Loves my cookies, right? She'll start shoving Bob out of the way in order to get together, you know? So you take one step to him, he comes closer to you, because he wants that relationship with us. And then he said, whatever then you eat or drink, in 1 Corinthians 10:31, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, we are the temple of the living God, amen? So if we think about this and all that we do, whatever you eat, you drink, whatever you're going to do, do it for the glory of God. So another good barometer for us is what I'm about ready to say or do or consume, will bring God glory? Or will it bring make a brow mark on him, if I can say it that way, or bring him glory? Again, going back to allergies. Well, like I said Friday night, if my nose was running money, I'd blow it all on you. So I don't know, I'm related to Mark Lowry somehow, or I'm not sure, you know. First cousin, okay. But again, we as Christians, we want to please God. That's our ultimate goal. We want to please Him because we love Him very, very much. And so sometimes, again, we have to slow down before we do something. Will this bring Him glory? And I'm telling you, a lot of times, if we take that second or two, it'll stop us from doing things that God doesn't want us to do. Amen? Remember, we're always fighting the flesh. That's where Satan will come against you. Your spirit, once you're born again, the Spirit of the living God has come inside of you. Think of that. God lives in you. And there's no thing ever created that's stronger than God. So Satan cannot come and attack your spirit that lives in you. He got whooped 2,000 years ago back on the cross. In fact, several, I don't know how many thousand years before that, he got kicked out of heaven. So what can he come after is your flesh. Because we were born with a sin nature. If they were born again of the Spirit, that old flesh gets raising up. At least mine does. Anybody else's? It does. Because you're always being the flesh along you're upon this earth. We're always going to have this battle. I don't care if you're 999 years old. There's still going to be a battle going on. But folks, the Spirit of God in us will overcome every battle. Amen? Amen. So we got to realize how much strength we have. And in Ephesians 5:18, he gives us a great illustration. He says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit. Wow. Do not get drunk with wine. Or alcohol. And say, that's okay, preacher, I drink Jack Daniels. He's talking about do not consume. If you're smoking dope, okay, don't be smoking your dope and getting stoned or popping your... He said, man, don't do that. He says, be filled with the Spirit. And think of that for a second. But be filled with the Spirit. Because when you're drunk with alcohol, it affects every part of yourself. When you talk, you're walking, you're thinking, you're driving, you're working, your relationships, everything is influenced by that alcohol. Wow. Now, picture yourself being drunk with the Spirit, or filled with the Spirit, or totally controlled by the Spirit. It will affect the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you think, the way you drive, working, relationships, and everything else. So they say, man, watch out. Don't. You know, a lot of times an issue goes on in their life. We want to grab alcohol and try to calm it down a little bit. But, you know, I've never got up on a morning when I used to drink and say, oh, thank God I was drunk last night. Look what I did. No. I mean, alcohol gets a hold of us and just boom. So what he's saying, man, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit and listen to Him. You know, I was reading last night with Billy Graham. I love Billy Graham. He's been on to be the Lord. But his comment on the Spirit says, one of the Bible's greatest truth is that when we come to Christ and commit our lives to Him, He comes to live with us by His Holy Spirit. So think of it inside again. The Spirit of God is living in you. He says, in fact, the Bible warns, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Again, if Christ isn't in us, then we're not born again. That's why it's so important to be born again. To confess Jesus Christ as Savior, invite Him into your house. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. So if you know Jesus, the Holy Spirit already lives within you, whether you feel His presence or not. Why has He been given? The Bible gives several reasons, but behind them all is our need for God's help. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, helps us in our weakness. He convicts us of sin. He opens our eyes to God's truth. He grants us spiritual gifts. He counsels and guides us. All these and more would be impossible without His help. Never forget that the Holy Spirit is an impersonal force of power, like electricity or gravity. He is God. Think of it. God Himself now dwells within you if you know Christ. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, He will give you another, a counselor, to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Because He lives in us, we can ask God to help us in our times of need and to give us the courage and strength to live as we should. Don't ever try to live a Christian life in your own strength. If you do, you will only fail. Instead, trust the Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom and strength that you need. Okay? Again, inside of you, a born-again Christian, the Spirit of God lives within us. And to live by the Spirit is to listen to the Spirit. It's always speaking to us. Always trying to give us direction. Okay? And sometimes, again, we try to do things in our own ways, and we're not listening. Okay, God, what do you want to do? I'm going to do it my old way. That's where I've done it for all my life. But now the Spirit of God lives in me. If I listen, He'll lead me. He'll never lead me in sin. He'll never lead me into temptation. Not saying that I won't fall into temptation if I don't watch what I'm doing. Even if I do that, He'll give me a way out of it. But you have to trust the Spirit of God that lives in you, guys. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, sometimes we think, oh, it sounds really complicated to be filled with the Spirit. I don't know how to do it. Well, when you got born again, the Spirit came in.
Yes.
Think of that. So how do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, do I go on a sabbatical for a year and quit my job and live away from my families and fast and pray for a year and get filled with the Holy Spirit? I mean, sometimes you think, well, that's what I got to do, you know. But no. I pray within the next 10 minutes, you're going to know how to do it. It's awesome. It really is. In 1 Corinthians, he reminds us in chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. God, man, when me and God was talking last night, I thought, wow, this is awesome, God. I thought, I have an awesome God that loves me. Because sometimes, even us preachers can make things sound so complicated, and it's so basic and so simple. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, it says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" Again, now he's talking to those who are here today who have been born again. If not, Spirit of God isn't living in you, but He's right outside of you. Amen?
Amen?
"Whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." So, put yourself as a piece of real estate. We're all out here on the market. We got a for sale sign on us. People walking past looking at us. Here comes Bob Clark looking at me. "I'll give you $4. $4 for me? My land. This is Darryl. I'll give you 2.5. Wow. But here comes Carol Lawrence. I'll give him $1 million for him.
Cool.
Sold! Woo-wee! Awesome. Of course, you being a woman, since she buys me, she's going to remodel me. You know what I'm saying? She paid a great price for me, right? She owns me now, right? I mean, I'm real estate. I'm not a person. I'm not slavery or anything like that. Think about God and us. Sometimes we forget about that. He bought us with great price. His life, He gave it all for us. Oh, because He wanted us. Amen? Think of it. He wanted us that bad. Well, you ever have something you wanted so bad you had to even put it on layaway? And you had to pay $1 a week before you got it? You wanted it so bad? Man, wow. Think of that. That's not even comparing to what God did for us. You know, I remember in high school, I wanted a jean shirt from Penny's. It was a snap jean shirt. Oh, snap button. I'm just, wow, back in my black leather. It took me 6 weeks paying $1 a week at Penny's to get that thing. I had it 2 weeks and somebody stole it.
Oh.
Somebody in my school stole it from me. Did I get it back? No, he was bickering at me. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I wanted it so bad. I go past this guy be wearing it at the gas station. I want it back. I never got it back, you know, but I wanted it. It's the same way with us. God paid the ultimate price for every one of us. He wants us back from the sin that Satan seduces into, okay? And some of us has come to Him. Oh, man, awesome. But otherwise, it's kind of like Him driving past the gas station. Oh, I want you so bad. I want you. I paid the price for it. I just pray you come back to me. That's a God that loves us. He loves us very much. Very, very much. But we are the temple of the living God. Now, that is a helpful reminder for each of us. We live from day to day. to help us to make decisions as this temple is being renovated by our new tenant, the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Everybody understands that now? He bought you, and when you got born again, He moved in. But we won't be filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, how can we? What do we do next? I'll use me and my wife for examples. Now, I'm picking on you personally, okay? Let's say this. I'm a bachelor. And I built myself an awesome log cabin, guys. I'm telling you what, beautiful. I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, I've got 3,000 square foot. I've got pool tables and foosball tables. And I got space invaders, you know what I'm saying? I've got my couch made out of old logs. I got a great big old wood burner in my kitchen to cook on and stuff. I got a boar's head from great grandpa who killed him in Africa, Teddy Roosevelt. Beautiful. I mean, just a house that you would fall in love with. Well, then, wow, I meet this beautiful lady one day. I fall in love. I thought, man, I need her in my life. Something inside of me, I'm just tired of this bachelor life. I know that might be hard to believe, but it would be. Me get tired of you and cook after a while. Anyway, I fall in love. I ask her, hey, will you be my wife? Will you be Mrs. Starkey Lawrence? She says, oh, I love to. Oh, so I bring her home. She comes into my house and she walks in. Okay. She's looking on the walls and all this stuff, and I haven't dusted for a while, you know. And some rooms are so dark and you can't quite see inside of it. But she moves in. Ah, got my wife in my house that I built. Well, a time goes on. She comes to me and says, hey, Starkey, would you mind, just the breezeway as we first walk into the house? Can I put some ruffled curtains up around the window? Oh, come on. Oh, it won't hurt nothing anyway, breezeway. Go ahead. See, she put the ruffled curtains up. Oh, wow. Time continues on. So, Starkey, man, I love cooking for you, but that wood stove, don't quite get it anymore. Can I put an electric stove in there? Oh, I love to eat. All right, so we carry out the old wood stove, bring an electric stove in. Oh, my. Next thing I know, I've got some decorative stuff hanging off the walls in the kitchen where she's cooking from and stuff, you know. And then she comes through the living room one day and says, now, I'm getting sick and tired of seeing that boar's head hanging on the wall, yeah. Wait a second, man. My great-great-grandpappy shot that to Teddy Roosevelt over in Africa. That's been hanging there for my generation forever and ever. Now you want to remove it. Yes. All right. Hangs a picture of daisies up there or whatever. As we're carrying outside, she trips over my couch. I built this couch by myself. I know I stole the lumber off of Chuck's property, but I built it myself. You know what I'm saying? Yes. She wants to get rid of it. She wants some lazy boy stuff in there. All right. I'll just boom, boom. See, she's going through my house. Because my bedroom, my log bed I made. Boom. But I love her, number one. But what am I feeling now? In every room, I'm feeling the presence of my wife. See, I had the job of building the house, but she makes it a home. And she was only doing that was instilled in her to do, to make it look like a home. Not the corner bar. Wow. So as time went on, I could see my wife's presence in every part of the life. And she redecorated everything. But I had one room in the far corner of the house. I had a special lock on that baby. Yeah. Hey, I got the right to keep a few things myself, right? Don't I have a right? Come on, it's my house. I built the house. One little room. I mean, it's only 10 by 10. Am I going to suck in and get into it? But don't I have the right to keep something for myself?
No.
One day she found that open. Was it alone? Great. Awesome. But she found that door open, my little secret place. She opened up, she walked in, and why didn't she get upset with me, Chuck? You're right in my eyesight today, buddy. You should have sat one chair over, you know. I could pick on somebody else. Why are you getting upset? Well, she found my little black book of people I used to date. Photographs I had hidden back here, you know, of proms and stuff before I met her. All kind of stuff. She goes, "What do you still have this for? Why do you have this for?" I said, "Well, I mean, just in case things didn't work out." I would have to start all over again. You know what I'm saying?
Things aren't going to
get. I got a feeling she'd be tearing our house apart right home today.
You
know?
Better take 2 boxes.
Yeah. Plan B. So she walked me through the entire house. Look, haven't I taken your house and turned it into a home for you? Haven't I done what I'm supposed to do? And all this I've done for you, you still want to keep something of your past back here in that little room just in case things don't work out? Hey, listen, you got a choice. All of me or none of me. Because those things in that closet, just in case it don't work, they're just things from my old days, you know? If she looked far enough in that closet, she would have found that old hog's head back in there. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm 100% committed to the relationship, or there's no relationship.
Right.
Amen? And that's what she's telling me. Okay, either all of me or none of me. I had to make a decision. Get rid of it. Get rid of the love of my life. Last thing in the world I want to do is hurt the love of my life. I carried all that stuff out and got rid of it. So, let's go back to your real estate. You are the temple of the living God. When you are born again, He came into your life. He's here now. And He's walking through. The farther you allow Him to go in your life, each room He goes into, Bonnie, each thought that He enters into, wow. When now your thought life, you give that to Him. You know, if you can picture your body being a house, and many rooms, have all the rooms you want. But He comes in one room, and it's your mouth. Okay, seriously, yeah, I know it's funny. But, okay, I'm going to surrender my mouth to you, Lord. Okay. But in order to do that, then I got to surrender my mind to Him. Wow. Then my hands and my feet. You go through the whole time, and as you surrender things, more and more of the presence of God now is in your life. You're being filled with His presence, being filled with the Spirit, allowing the Spirit to take control. Amen? Think of that. That's not complicated, is it? When I say, I'll be filled with the Spirit, oh, I don't have to. Wow. Just totally want Christ in your life and allow Him to do what He's there to do. That's love. Just be as my wife. Let her come in. Maybe resist a little bit. But then turn her loose. Do what women do. Do what wives do. Redecorate it. Because as time goes on, that house becomes a home. It's our home. It's our home. Wow. I know for guys, at least, you get married. Okay, some are smiling, some are frowning. Okay. Well, let's just say, you get married. Wow. A couple weeks later, your buddy's calling, hey man, I was married, like awesome, awesome. Hey, we're going down to the Cat Blues tonight, shoot some pool, have a few beers, come on down, man. I don't know, I don't think the old lady let me. Call me back in a couple weeks and maybe I'll be able to do that, you know what I'm saying? Call you back in a month, hey man, we'll go down to the corner bar, we're going to shoot some pool and drink some beer. Well, I don't know, she's really upset today. Hey, you better call back. Okay. I'm glad you haven't been back yet. But why don't you just say, no. No, I don't do that anymore. I'm married. I am married. You know, I had the bachelor's life. I had hanging out with the guys. I had all that. Yes, I've done some crazy things. But no, I'm committed my life to my wife. And I don't go there anymore. I don't need to go in there. Now, I personally have never went to a bar, had a few drinks. I never did something I didn't want to do. Yeah. Have you ever been in a bar fight? Anybody? It normally starts with a beer or two. You know what I'm saying? Yes, yes. But yeah, and it just... But the commitment to my wife. No, oh, it won't hurt nothing. And folks, I know, and let the Spirit lead you, but I know there's some people that, okay, get married, and well, he got his night out, I got my night out. Seriously? Tisha, come on. If you got to run the bars once you get married, you need to talk to one another, amen? And I'm not saying you can't go people, but just watch what you get into, because it don't take much to get enticed to go the wrong direction, amen? I'm not saying you can't go have ladies, can't go ladies friends, you know what I'm saying? But be very careful, because Satan's always waiting there for you. You know, he's waiting to slap you back down again on top of you. Control you again. God is the same way. As the Spirit of God comes in this, make sure in your house, in this temple of the living Spirit, you don't have a closet somewhere that you're hanging on to things. Just in case this Christian walk doesn't go through the way I want it to. I got some old numbers. I got some old friends lined up. Just in case, you know. Folks, listen. When you commit your life to Jesus Christ, get rid of the things in the world that's trying to kill you. Get rid of that little black book you have. Get rid of the numbers from the drug dealer that you're buying drugs from, okay? Or all the stuff that is enticing you, all that. Get rid of it. Don't keep it. If you got to erase your Facebook, you got to get rid of your anything. Texting numbers. You have black numbers from people because they keep coming back to you. Hey, you want to go party tonight? You want to go party tonight? No, I don't do that no more. Shut it down. Because you are the temple of the living God. He wants all of us. He doesn't want to hide anything back, because he knows if you do, that somehow that thing is going to squirt itself back out of that room and take off in your house again. And pretty soon it's going to be in your mind again, Bob. Woo! He's like thinking about it. I remember the old days, Steve. Yeah, that's how it normally starts, right? Woo! Yeah, I remember the old days, Steve. We both headed to hell. Yeah, I'm going to burn forever. We're going to be tormented with the worm that never dies, you know? He says, man, the thoughts in our head would go on and on, torment time and time again. Oh, in the good old days, we're headed to hell, man, but now we're headed to heaven. Why do we ever want to go back? Well, it's very easy to start slipping backwards. Satan has only come around us to kill, steal, and destroy. He uses every lie that he can. And he doesn't change. Understand that. He uses the same techniques today as he did 6,000 years ago. He just wrapped them up a little bit different. Puts a little different color paint on it. But he's still the same. We have to learn that. And when Christ comes in, boom, you can come back in, honey, you want to. I wouldn't saw it yet. But to realize that, once saved, always saved, is only true if you're always with Jesus. We can turn away from him. He doesn't want that. How to stop that is, man, cleanse your temple. Let the Holy Spirit go through and cleanse. What? Like Kenny said earlier, the Word of God will start speaking to you. And the things that you might have right now in a room somewhere in your head, if I can say it that way, hey, that's where some of your trouble's coming from. You're hanging on to things that wants to replace me. Sometimes it's going through your house, get rid of every CD you have. Or for some of us, 8-tracks. I still got some. But I had these back. Okay, you have them, but if it's not good, get rid of it. Because it's still there to take you back. It don't take much. You know, one day of depression. Oh, man. No 8-track from the years gone by. You put it in, and you start going back. You're going to transfer from that day that you got born again. You go back farther and farther. And pretty soon, it can keep you back there. That's how Satan works. He'll keep you back there, man. And while he's dragging you back there, he's going to bring somebody back in your life in that time frame to run into you. Wow. Man, I haven't seen you for a long time. Well, come on, let's go out tonight. I go to church on Friday nights. Come on, one night ain't going to hurt, is it? Well, the preacher says, you know, you don't have to come to church every day. Yeah, I'll go with you. And then see what happens then. Boom, boom, boom. Folks, that's how it happened. I've been there, done that. I got the t-shirt, I got the hat, I got the boots. That's easy. So I know a lot of times when we hear things from older folks, I'm old people. You know what I'm saying? I was there once. But we try to share from our experience, trying to stop other people from going down the same road that we did. So please just trust me in that, you know. Leave it alone. You are the temple of the living God. He's coming in. That'll have every part of you. And what you're doing today, as you hear the Word of God, He's speaking to you. He's helping you cleanse that out. You know, He says in 2 Corinthians 6:16, He reminds us, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And man, if you can stay focused on that also, wherever you go today and tomorrow and the next day, God is in you. He's going to walk with you. I won't say Walmart today. The bacon strawberry patch. You know what I'm saying? Just think of it. He's within you. What an awesome. Remembering that will help us to do the things that He wants us to do, right? I mean, it's one thing to think, well, I'm going to leave church today in a little bit. I'm going to leave God in the church. I'm going to do my thing and come back. That's one thing. But realize that He's with us. Why is He with you? Because you have invited Him into your life. All right, Brother Kenny. Hey, you invited Him in. Wow. Okay. And He'll do what He's designed to do, and that is to cleanse our temple. If we'll allow Him to do that. Now, if He tries and tries, Bob. Oh, but if He tries to clean this out, clean that out. He's going to do about the same thing that my wife says. Okay. Either me or the world. I'm not playing second fiddle, you know. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit with what He's saying. You know. And I know it's scary at times. When something's in your life and you need to remove that. But man, I'm so used to doing it this way. Yeah, it's going to be scary. But trust in God. He'll help you get it out of it. If you want rid of it. If you want God to come in and cleanse you. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired of it, say it that way. Yield yourself to Him and He will clean that out. You know, I mean, it's been cold for a while. I mean, my wife came and moved into my house there. She had to dust a lot of dust. Maybe a lot better before she came in. I wasn't hacking so much. But once she did what she's supposed to do or wanted to do, my life was a lot easier in there, a lot better. And when you please your wife, life is always better. happy life, happy wife, yep.
Happy wife, happy life.
And there you go. Yep. Well, Ephesians 2:19. Ephesians 2:19 says, "Then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone." In whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So your temple is being built, we say, by the Word of God. Amen? And if you imagine right now building a house and you're laying blocks. And you put the box down, this one over here, and over here. You get clear down here, you look back. That one there is crooked. So what you got to do? Get back and correct that. Okay? How do you keep it square? Well, you use a razor line, a square line. 3 and 2. Everybody remember? Maybe not. Yeah. How do you keep your temple square for the Lord? By His Word. At times you got to stop, look back, and make sure, man, this temple that I'm building for God is being built on His Word the way He wants it and not the way I want it. So sometimes the way we want it is easier. Yeah. I can build it the way I want to. I have to change a bit, you know. But we truly, remember, we have invited Jesus Christ into our life. The Holy Spirit has come within us. Now we've become the temple of God. And what we want to do is have this temple built the way that He wants it. You know, we want to be, it's kind of like, we are the building, we own the building, and Jesus Christ has leased us. And He come to dwell in us. And so what we want to do is be a good landlord to take care of this body He's given us. Amen? And it's for His benefit, as well as ours, but for Him. We're the cornerstone. And together we're building the temple. By ourselves we're building the temple, but I see us out here today, each one of us, we're building the church. Because we are the church. And I'm a building block, and you're a building block, and you're a building block. You see what I'm saying? And again, it goes back to Bob, you look at my block I'm building, and you see it's not square, you need to come to me. Say, man, I've been building my temple a lot longer than yours, Starkey. And you're all centered a little bit. What do you mean? Well, when you think that when it says in the Scripture you can do all things, because you're born again, that means you can do all things, but sin is still sin. Amen? When I get born again, I still have the right to sin. But it has the same effect. Amen? And so sometimes that's taken up a portion. If I get born again, but I can still continue to be my sin. The wages are still there. We need to get out of that. Okay? Amen? Helping one another. Because we are building, we're God's church. We're His church. We are fellow citizens with the saints. They are God's household. Man, that's powerful. That's in Ephesians 2:19 again. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Christ Jesus Himself being a cornerstone. So what we're building on today, continue to build on, you know, Peter and John and Paul, all of them were laying the blocks down. And Christ is the cornerstone. His resurrection is everything that we'll build on here. Amen?